And so it's such a privilege to be here. Thank you, Ty. I appreciate it. And we're excited. And when we talk about landing it, I think the point is we want to, this, our heart has been this whole weekend as a team, is that this is not just a conference and we in Equip. And if you don't understand why we call it an Equip, I'll show you. And that we, this is a launch pad into something greater. Into, as Ken preached for us last night and brought us to a place of new season, stepping into a new season. And we need courage and boldness for that. And so today, let's just get going because time is a-winting. Here we go. So what I want to speak about today is leading others by inspiration. And if you look at that picture, you might go, wow. And so we have to get a little bit creative and see if this inspires you to reach for the more in Christ, expanding the kingdom, have an expansive heart of where God wants to go and for us to do that. And we need to understand that when we, as New Testament leaders, we need to lead in a New Testament way. We don't have any other mechanism to us but to lead the way God has showed us and God places before us. And so let's have a look at Romans chapter 12. And it starts off in verse 3 and it says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to you, everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." And when we went and did church planters, with one of the places we went, and we were so bushy-tailed and bright-eyed and so excited, and we're going to do this, and man, God's called us. And they looked at us and they said, "We just want to say one thing to you. Number one, you're not as smart as you think you are." Okay. Said, "Secondly, you're not as gifted and talented as you think you are. And thirdly, you do not preach as well as you think you do." And we go, "What are we doing here? What are we doing here?" But we knew there was a call of God, and we followed the call rather than the naysaying of man. But it is true. We need to be sober-minded about who we are and what we do, especially when we want to lead. "Think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." Verse 6, "Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. One who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhorting. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." There is no point having a leader who has no zeal, who does not want to inspire people. I think Ty mentioned it in the beginning. If you do not love people, do not put your hand up. This is you've got to love your place, and you have to love the people. And we came to Pickering, and we looked at this place. We thought, man, this just feels like our old city. And we love our city. And we love the people that God brings to us. And we love this team. And we love the nations. And man, what's not to love in Jesus Christ? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, shepherds, to equip," hence equips, "saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain unity." I love that "until," because that "until" actually gives us faith, because we know that right now we don't have the unity that was required that Christ is talking about, but we have the "until," and so there is hope that we can move forward in the "until," and the knowledge of the Son of God. And I just love that, the knowledge. And that's not just to know him. The gnosis of that is to have an experiential knowledge of to know him and see him and taste him and feel him and walk with him. And as Ty so beautifully opened up, and it wasn't just like dig down a little well for us. I felt that Ty took a H-bomb, created this creating, so let's dig down from that. It was so vast and so wide and so expansive for us in our hearts and our thinking. And we cannot do anything of this if we do not have a revelation of Jesus Christ. That has to be foremost and fore, and we can be great followers. Paul did an amazing job of that. And the great I ams, and I am, and expanding the kingdom, and building in our faith, and having faith that we love, and the power of preaching in 30 minutes, said he, in 45, and carry on. And we do everything that we can. But if we do not have a revelation of Jesus Christ for ourselves, not somebody else's, not mine for you, Not come to church and think that, well, I'm just going to slide along on the spot that my pastor has placed for me, the furrow that he's digging. No, stay in your lane, run your race, do it well. We have no other mechanism to lead. The only way we can do it is through persuasion. And that's not manipulation, that's not arm twisting, but that's by leading with zeal, inspiring each other. When you get to, okay, let me just inspire you. It's good for you to all be here today, and thank you for coming. Yeah, okay, when can we get out of here? No, this is exciting. This is about, if you don't know why we do this and what it is all, it's on the back of the t-shirt. To make Christ known and to make him known and to make him known, Christ known. I've messed it up, but there we go. Stand up and show them, Ty. There we go. Man, and make him known. There we go. We have no special privileges. Leaders, we're all leaders. Okay, Ty opened that with us the other night. It doesn't matter what you lead. You don't have to be an elder or a deacon or anything. We're all saints. Doesn't matter whether you're an elder or a deacon. We're all saints together. Serving the King, looking to Him in all those contexts, the significance of the context. And some of you might have thought that time meant your significance in that. No, the significance of Jesus Christ in my life, in my family, in my local church, in my commission, in the gospel, in the kingdom, in the King. It's all about Him. We cannot take any of that for ourselves. It's His significance in our lives. And as Dan and Paul both pointed out for us, that unless it's in Jesus Christ, we can do this because we're in Him. The righteousness that comes from Him, because He is the righteous one. And oh man, this is not even in my notes, but anyway. We think that the covenant that we live under is the covenant that we like. You know, hey, we cut it with God and we're good. And no. God cut the covenant with His Son on our behalf, and we are partakers of that gloriousness, that we get to live that life, John 10:10, that abundant, excessively happy life because of Him, because of His imputed righteousness to us. His Word and His Spirit, His wisdom, His inspiration, it's all about Jesus. This is what no one says, we must abandon power in favor of love. You want to lead? We lead in love. Leadership is influence, nothing more and nothing less, says John Maxwell. Now the problem is that you leaders, us leaders, all of us here together are going to face some challenges. And here's some of them. First one is cynicism. Cynicism is what I call the suspicious creep. Well, I'm not so sure about you. I'm not so sure about your leadership. I'm not sure about in general. No good can come of this. Can I encourage you as leaders? When you say you're going to start at 10 o'clock, start at 10 o'clock. If you want your congregation, those that are following you, to honor you in what you say, you need to be honorable in that. Because otherwise people say, well, what time do you start? Any time. My pastor says it's 10 o'clock, but hey man, come whenever you want. I'm trying. The second thing is confusion. Confusion in leadership says there's no reason to follow. I have no idea where we're going. I don't know what we're doing. I don't know what we're all about. You know, and I'm not big on mission statements. But we have to have something to help to point people to Christ. We sat down and we agonized over it for a long time. You think it's easy just to sit down and write the very short mission statement? No, it's not. At the Bridge, we connect all people to encounter God, Word, and His Spirit. I think it was Ken said, we're not Word people, we're not Spirit people. We are Word and Spirit. You can't divorce the two. It's not like happy families and we're divorcing. No. One family. His Word, His Spirit. Third one is fear of leadership. Now, I've seen too many times when I've given my heart to leadership, that was your first mistake. Now, we trust leadership because God has called us here, Hebrews 13:17. You can read that up. When God is appointed, God is anointed, God is called, but you give your heart to Jesus. We come and we submit ourselves and we partnership. And if I could be so bold as to say it, I was just talking to a couple over. Sometimes we've got to change our language because we are not volunteers in the kingdom. We're partners. Because volunteer allows the mentality of, I'll do this when I moment of convenience in my life. I'll do this in a moment of contractual basis when I'm feeling good about it. And it never gives ownership. We're not contractual. We're not convenient people. We are covenant people. And so when we partnership, it means that we all together take a partnership. We take ownership of what we're doing in leading God's people in by inspiration. Amen? Don't go quiet on me. We heard earlier how noisy you can get. And the third thing, of course, fourth thing is rejection of leadership. I'm going to be my own leader. I just don't need anybody to lead me. I'm just going to, Superman, you know, on my own. I'm going to save the world. No, you can't do that. The point we want to do is leaders are tasked with inspiring others to lead into a place of, and we have to learn to secure people by pointing them to Jesus Christ in their identity, not in you as a leader, but in Christ Jesus, to secure them in knowing who they are in Christ Jesus. Look at me, as Ty already talked about it, look at me as I follow Christ, said Paul. And Paul was doing it. And if you're not doing it, then get doing it. Get in your lane, understand your call, get what you're called to, and stay in your lane. Out my church knows this. In a, well, Jesus Church, but the one I lead. When I was a youngster, I wanted to be a rock star for Jesus. And he said, not so much, my boy. He says, I've got something else for you too. Why? Because if he had allowed me to do that, I would have taken it for myself. I was so inanimate of being a worship leader for Jesus. And I bless, we have a tremendous amount of great leaders. There's a bunch of wonderful worship leaders, and I praise God for every single one of you every day. But he said, I have another plan for you. We secure people. We are there to inspire people. The vision for a vision of a preferred future, said Moses, looking forward, as Ken helped us see last night. Look, not looking back, we're looking forward to what is the vision that God has for us. Well, what is the vision of your church? That's okay, but it's not that important. What is the call of God on your life? What is the vision he's giving you? Get together with God. And I don't know if it's in my notes, but it doesn't matter. What is my purpose? If you don't understand what that is now, let me tell you what it is. It's Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Because when we find that, when the golfer finds his sweet spot in his swing, he says, man, that was so good. When we find Jesus Christ, our purpose in Jesus Christ, that is the sweet spot. That's where we want to stay. Wow. Okay, so we need to appeal to people. Moving on. Leaders need to have a magnet in their heart and a compass in their head. Oh, that's nice, Mark. What does that mean? I'm so glad you asked. The magnet in the heart is Christ, which attracts. We've got to have the magnet in the heart that when people walk and see us and they smell, there's an aroma emanating from there. What is that? Jesus Christ. When we see that Christ above all else, Christ in us, Christ the hope of glory, Christ the attraction, the aroma of Christ, the tangible presence of Christ, then we don't have to worry, as Dan said, about the darkness, because you know that when you step into a room, the light, and you'll float 3 inches above the ground. I'm joking, but you know what I'm saying. People will recognize Christ in you. People will be inspired by that. They'll say, that man, that woman has something. I don't know what it is, but I'm sure want to find out. We want to inspire people. It's got to be, the world calls it people skills. But we say that it's the fragrance of Jesus Christ. The compass in the head is the Word of God. We have to have the Word of God will bring us the direction that we need. Leaders who know their God and live by His Word and understand the I Ams, the perfection, the I Am of God, the seven I Ams that Dan spoke to us again, Not just the letter of the word, but the spirit of the word that brings life to us. That we can go, man, let me just tell you about this man that I met. His name is Jesus Christ. And we have to speak about the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the great Father, the great I Am, the great Jesus who came. And Jesus, when he came, sent the Holy Spirit. And he says, I will send you another comforter, another parakletos. And what that actually really means is when you have the seesaw and the one end is heavy, he says, while I'm picking up this end, you can pick up that end and we'll do this together. The one who comes and comforts us and leads us and guides us in all truth. Not in academics or cerebrally, but living lives governed and inspired by the Word and Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:3, and you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. These leaders, the ones that inspire, will nourish people, and they will also nudge the sheep towards the Good Shepherd. Not get in the way, as Paul said. Don't stand in between the Father and the sheep, and you think, well, look at me. Look how I'm glowing. We only want Him to be magnified and for Him to glow. The second thing we do, we help them to see. We help them to see the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Experience Him. And even in the dark moments, the I Ams have to be so much in us. The race we are running has to be so full. The lane has to be so sure. The revelation of Jesus Christ in the significance, in all the context, has to be so sure and embedded in our spirit that we are not confused, that we even see Him, even in the dark moments, when we think things are, the world is crashing around us, but we are still stay focused on Him. That His eyes, as Dan said, look into my eyes. Don't look anywhere else. Peter, I think Ty mentioned, Peter on the water, look into my eyes. And that's where we go. Don't worry about the detractions. And if you're traveling on the 401, those that are from Ontario, if you're traveling on the 401, do not take the right side roads. Don't go, oh, let's go and have a look and see what's happening here. No. Stay on the 401. Stay on the highway, the road of Jesus Christ. We have to help people see not only the Godhead, we've got to help people see themselves. See themselves as they have been bought with a price. See themselves with the passion of the Godhead, loved, redeemed, the once lost, now the found, the obsession of the Father's heart, the apple of His eye. That's who you are. We think of redeemed, we go, well, that's great. Redeemed. I was on the slave block. I was manacled and chained upon the slave block. And Jesus came through the blood and His death on the cross and His resurrection. He redeemed me. The chains were snapped off. I am free in Christ Jesus. That's how we have to teach people to see themselves. But you don't understand my life, Pastor. You don't understand how terrible it is. You're right. Let me tell you about my life. No, because now we actually like tick points, you know. And it's the same as when we give our testimonies. I want to tell you my testimony. We spend 20 minutes telling them how bad you were, how you threw the cat over the fence, and how you didn't help the lady across the street, and how you did a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah, and then I got saved. That's not a testimony. The testimony is, I was like this 1 minute. Spend the next hour exalting the name of Jesus. Tell them the goodness of God in your life, how that happened. Help them to see themselves like that. Have a preoccupation with the darling of heaven. Help them to see the church, her purpose on earth. Oh, have you heard about our new youth program? No, I'm not really interested. I want to know about Jesus. I want to know what God has called this body to do. I want to know what God is saying to this church. I want us to see, to revel in the community, to love God, to the family and the body, and with all our idiosyncrasies. To speak well of the church. You know, when you don't speak well of the church, that's His bride. Any married man here would like to go, oh, you talk about my wife. meet you around the back. The bride, the king, which is somewhat gangly and awkward at times, and perhaps, but she will not always be like that. Without a spot and a blemish, she will mature and become waiting for him to return. In the meantime, leaders, be patient with her. Love on her. Nurse her. Mature her. Delight in all her seasons and moments. Number three, nearly done. Those that connect God's people to God, of course. We want to make sure that we're connecting people to God and not to ourselves. Teach our people to pray. The communication of heaven. How do I speak to God? Prayer. I know, we call it prayer, and then we get all super spiritual. No, no. Communication with God is prayer. In all seasons, in and out. Teach him to access God on their own. Well, Pastor, you need to pray for me. Why? Well, I was just thinking about this. Okay, let's pray together, but you go and pray about it. How about you access God? He came, his son came and opened the way for us to him. Love him, to be alone with him. Learn to love to be alone in his presence. Just, Lord, I love being in your presence. To see him in every details of your life. Go out on an adventure and say, where can I see the Father today? Holy Spirit, show me. Show me Jesus today. Show me a random act of kindness that I can perform to him, leading people with inspiration. Help people to see what they are called to, their purpose. The best way is to model it yourself. You know, we have this book and that book on purpose and destiny and this podcast and that TV program, etc., etc. And I always said, find Jesus and you'll find your purpose. Our purpose is in him. People can't quite sense the aroma of Christ. There's something about you. I can't put my finger on it. There's something that you exude. And you cannot be proud, but you can be humble and say, it's the presence of Jesus in my life. I know who I was and I know who I am. A higher purpose that resonates from the chest of people. Number four. Those that inspire them. To inspire someone means to animate by divine influence, to prompt to creative action or thought. What inspires you as a leader? Jesus? I'd hope so. You know what inspires me? When I see visitors walking this door by themselves. You know how much courage it takes people to walk in? I want to encourage you, don't, do you know what the greatest non-retention of members in churches or people visiting churches is? I went there and nobody spoke to me. Come in, and we get in our little huddles and we do our thing and we talk and we carry on and thing, and the visitors come in and they go out. We're going to develop a culture of inviting. Of openness, revealing Christ to them. We don't know where they've been. We don't know what they've done. We got to embrace them, embrace them. One of the greatest inspirations was to me when we, in South Africa, there was a little church down the south coast I used to go and preach in. We used to call it the chicken church. Because the church was in a chicken hutch. There were 8 people in the church. 2 of them were octogenarians, means they were over 80 years old. One was half blind, the other one was half deaf. Don't laugh. Every Thursday, they would actually go down to the dump where the street kids would hang out. They would make their sandwiches. They would take little Kool-Aid in plastic cups, and they would go down and they'd feed these orphans and the kids scrounging for food on the dump. They would never once did anything ever get stolen from them. Then they would come back home, and then they would go to life group that night, or connect group, or home cell, whatever you call it. And they would be fully engaged. The half-blind guy used to put all the chairs out for people. And the half-deaf guy used to be the greeter on the door. In the 80s, they had a vision of Jesus. And I looked at that and that inspired me. A friend of mine on his deathbed was lying in bed, dying, sat up in bed. Nurse ran in and said, "Mr. Stadler, what's wrong with you?" He said, "Nothing. I'm just speaking to my Lord. I'm going home now." He lay down and he died. That inspired me. I'm inspired when we have elders and deacons and saints swimming, going good for Jesus. No whining, no whinging, no problems, no complaining. Just going for it, inconveniencing themselves, not thinking more highly of themselves, being sober-minded. How can we serve Jesus by serving our people? How can we lead others by inspiration? Fighting their own battles, prepping for sermons, prepping for the songs that they're going to sing and lead us into a wonderful time with Jesus, preparing us to meet him. That inspires me. What inspires you? Thank you, Todd.